you guys were on fire this morning. That was awesome. I tell you, that's just, man, that's just good medicine. It's it was good to be away and to be with family the last couple weeks, but it is a really good thing to come back and to be with this family. I am so glad to be back with you. For those of you that didn't know, we went up north to the place what my daughter began to call her town. This is my town, she said, Cincinnati, Ohio. And so we went up to Cincinnati to see my parents, and Maddie's claimed it for her own. So next time you think about Cincinnati, think about my daughter. Pray for my parents. I'd appreciate it. Today we're in the second part of a four-part message series entitled Small Things, Big Difference. Do we have people that normally make New Year's resolutions here in the house? Yeah, and then like 2 weeks later, this is about the time that the resolutions begin to go away and we get real with ourselves and we're like, okay, better luck next year, right? What we want to see and what we want to do this year is to begin the process of making small changes, not cataclysmic, not overarching changes, not huge and massive things, but to work on just some small things that will make a huge difference. Like last week, Cameron came, and I appreciate Cameron so much. She comes and she does a great job and makes it easier for me to be away from y'all. I believe she talked with you last week about claiming one word, a word that would drive your entire year. And I'm curious, how many of you did that? You've got your word for the year and you're focused in on it and you're kind of driving toward that. All right. Well, you've asked God and now you've got a word. I want to challenge you to live in that word, all right? That one word that God gave you, I want you to allow it to drive and to motivate you throughout the rest of the year. God gave me, actually, two words, Bluebell. I can't say how excited I was that God gave me Bluebell to motivate my year because, you know, it's just right there where I was. And so I meditated on Bluebell for a couple days, and then I realized, no, that wasn't God's word for Steve. That was the word I gave myself last year, and I enjoyed it a lot. And but this year's word, when I actually got honest with God and listened to Him, my word, he was pretty clear that this is the year that I'm supposed to trust. I've had some issues trusting. I used to be a very trusting person, but then you get burnt or you get backstabbed a little and you begin to kind of just, all right, maybe I shouldn't be so trusting. Maybe I shouldn't be so willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. And so my word for this year is trust. Now, for those of you that had a full week and you didn't pick your word, I'm going to give you your word, okay? Are you ready? You got paper to write this down? It's going to be important. It's called procrastination, all right? I'm giving you your word. It's procrastinate. No, because you could have done it, and I hope you will do it. Don't just look at this as a sermon series, and we're going to move on to bigger and better things. What I hope you'll do is see that God has a word for you this year, that He wants you to live into that word, and He wants to make it come alive. Let it be a theme for your year. And so I hope you'll do that. Today, I want to talk to you about your thoughts, which are important in determining who we will become over the course of our life. In fact, Solomon said it this way in Proverbs chapter 23, "As a person thinks in his heart, so he is." As a person thinks in his heart, so he is. You see, your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. You ever considered that? In other words, if you think you can't, you probably won't. Your life will follow your strongest thought. If you think I can, then the odds are you probably will accomplish things in your life. So I want us to take a moment today, this morning, just a brief moment, and I want us to do a thought audit, to think about what were those things that consumed our thought pattern last year. Okay? Maybe in the last 3 or 4 months, maybe we could even bring it up to that point. When you think about that, were your thoughts more focused on worrisome things or peace-giving things? Would you say you were more worried or more peaceful? Think about even last week. Let's forget about the last month. Let's just focus it down to the last week. Were your last week, were you worried about your kids? Worried about your job? Worried about the health of someone you love? Worried about money? Or were you very peaceful? That despite all the troubles and all the worrisome things that are out there in the world, you were just secure in the promises of God. You just down deep had this knowledge, this thought of God's got this. He's not surprised by anything that's happening to me, and he's taking care of it. I'm at peace. That peace that passes understanding. Even when something bad happens, you just have this firm conviction that God is still in control and you can trust him. Worry or peace? Where do you rate on that scale? Were your thoughts more worried or more peaceful? Then I would ask you to think in terms of, were your thoughts last week more negative or more positive? Some of you have the spiritual gift of negativity. Maybe I should own that one, all right? I have the spiritual gift of negativity at times, and especially if I start getting tired, I start getting critical and negative about everything and anything. I assume the worst a lot of times. And so you find yourself on this negative pendulum swing almost all the time where nothing's ever good enough. And yet, some of you are very positive people. You just believe the best about people. You walk into a church, and instead of picking it apart, you're like, man, there's some really good things going on here. You may have a difficult day, but you firmly believe that God is for you and that he's good and that he's loving, and this world reflects him in so many ways. And so you're more on the positive side. So how about you? Over here on the negative side? Or are you over here in positive land in your mental thoughts and capabilities? And then lastly, would you say that your thoughts are more concerned with worldly things or with eternal things? Do you find your thoughts are consumed with the things of this life? What am I going to wear? The next car that I'm going to buy? What I want to do on vacation? Or do I find myself thinking more eternal thoughts about the condition of people and how God can use my life to bring glory to himself and to help them out? Thinking about people that are far from God and maybe trying to figure out a way, how can I bring them just even a step closer to God? You see, our thoughts determine who we become. And our life will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. The scripture said, as a person thinketh in his heart, so he becomes. So if we're concerned with worldly, worried, negative thought patterns, then all probability we're moving in that direction. But if we're thinking and we're consumed with peace and positive thoughts and thinking about eternity, then we'll be moving in that direction. So as you've done your thought audit, where do you fall on that spectrum? Well, let's be honest. We live in a world and a culture, and we are surrounded by friends and others that what we see, there's just so much that cries out, worry about this. Be willing to criticize that. Think about what doesn't last rather than what does. Into that, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Listen, if you become like your greatest thoughts, and if your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts, then it is vitally important for us to let God transform our thoughts into thoughts that are good and pleasing and perfect, isn't it? I need that. I don't know about you, but I need God to come in and clean the slate and refocus me in a positive, eternal, peaceful direction. So how do we do that? Okay, we understand. We need to change our minds. We need to change our thought patterns. How do we go about doing that, God? Well, let me give you two real keys to this, all right? It's really easy. The first one is this. Capture destructive thoughts. If we're concerned with worry and negativity and earthly or worldly thoughts, then we need to recognize them for what they are. They are destructive. They are tearing us down rather than building us up. And we need to recognize them so that we can capture them and bring them into obedience of Christ. This is the way Paul taught us to do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, here's what it says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. On the contrary, he goes on to say, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Greek word translated there as power is the word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. It's explosive power of God to demolish and to do away with the strongholds of our life. The Greek word for stronghold is translated as a place where prisoners are locked by deception. Wow, does that fit for some of you where Satan has got you bound by a bunch of lies and deceitful thoughts? And it's a stronghold and you can't break free? In other words, think of an old-timey castle with a dungeon. Can you picture that in your minds? It's kind of what we're talking about here. We're locked away in a prison of deception and we can't get out. And so the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They are explosively powerful for busting apart that doorway to set us free. Think about this. What's the spiritual enemy that we have, Satan? What's his greatest weapon? Deception. The Bible says that he is the father of lies. And so oftentimes, he's always talking, and instead of listening to God, we're listening to the devil. As he condemns us, as he accuses us, as he tries to make us feel bad about who we are and whose we are, he's convincing us of things that are not true so that we build our lives on lies rather than on truths. But we know this. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and what will happen? The truth will set you free. Isn't that good medicine? Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, he says, we demolish the arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. So what we need to do is we need to recognize those lies of the enemy. We need to start calling them out for what they are, the destructive lies of the enemy, and we need to take them captive. The Bible says we demolish the lies and we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ and his truth. Not the lies of the enemy, but God's truth. So when you start thinking about things and you think, I'm unlovable, you got to say, would Christ agree with that? Is that something in my knowledge of the Bible? Would Jesus say that you are unlovable? No. The Bible is very clear. For God so loved the world. What I like to do in that scripture is to put my name. I like to personalize it. For God so loved Steve Irwin that he gave his only begotten son. He loved Liz. He loved Mike. We could just go on through the room and list each and every one of out. That helps combat the lie of the enemy that you're an unlovable person. Maybe you're sitting here today and you think, I'll never make a difference. Would Jesus agree with that? Or would Jesus want you to hear that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? The reality is, for so long we've just accepted the lies of the devil that we've built our life on those lies. And it is tearing us down and it's tearing us apart. But we need to take those thoughts captive, see if they agree with what God's word says about us, and allow that to be the thing that captures the thoughts instead of the thoughts capturing us. We're going to take those thoughts captive. Then secondly, Paul teaches us that we need to fix our thoughts on spiritual things. Focus on the eternal. You see, Paul was in prison when he wrote these words out of Philippians chapter 4, 8 and 9. Here's what he says. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's a guy, he's in prison, he's locked down, and yet he's thinking eternal things. He's thinking positive things. He's thinking spiritual things. He's fixing his thoughts on things that are appropriate to think about. Fix your thoughts on what's true and noble and right. If anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So we capture the lies and we concentrate on the truth. How many of us spend some time doing that on a daily basis? Recognizing the lies of the enemy for what they are, capturing it, making it obedient to the thoughts that Christ has about us, and then concentrating on those things which are true, good, noble, right, excellent, and praiseworthy. You see, our lives are always going to move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. You ever thought about the difference between a buzzard and a hummingbird? Just a couple of differences, right? But what does a buzzard spend the entire day doing? Looking for dead stuff. And you know what? It finds it. What about a hummingbird? What does a hummingbird spend the majority of its day doing? Looking for the sweet stuff, looking for that sweet nectar that is life-giving. So here's what I want to ask you. What do you think they find? Whatever it is they look for. You see, the buzzard goes around looking for dead things, and it finds it. The hummingbird goes around looking for sweet, life-giving things, and it finds it. You don't see a hummingbird hovering over roadkill, do you? No. And you sure don't see a buzzard up there next to a flower trying to suck the nectar out. No, it goes after what it's looking for. You and I are wired the same way. We will find what we're looking for. Ouch. If I'm negative and I go around, I'm going to look for negative things and I'm going to find them. If we're looking for peaceful things and eternal things, you know what? By all stretches of the imagination, we're going to find them. When we look for spiritual things, the things that are good and acceptable and noble and perfect and praiseworthy, we're going to see them everywhere. That's why Paul tells us, fix your minds on spiritual thoughts. Take captive the lies of the enemy and fix your minds on things that God's doing. Let me tell you how to do that. Because it's not in our natural course, is it? It's not part of our natural fiber to seek out the positive all the time. But here's how we can look for spiritual things. When you wake up in the morning, set the tone of your day with something spiritual, something right out of God's Word. When you wake up in the morning, instead of going for the iPhone and picking up Facebook and looking at Instagram or Facebook or finding out the news, turn in and turn on to God's Word. Spend some time. Just read a couple of verses or a chapter and let your mind start drifting towards spiritual things and watch how God leads you into deeper spiritual things. And then say a prayer. First thing in the morning, that's just the best way to get your day started off on the right foot, heading in the right direction. And I'm not saying you don't have to spend an hour. Just spend some dedicated moments in the Word and a couple of moments in prayer. You could pray something like this: God, thank you for this day. I know it's a gift from you, and I'm going to live my life in such a way that this is my gift back to you. Use me wherever you want. Help me to be sensitive to your Spirit. God, let me see where you are working. Open my eyes to spiritual things. Help me to focus my thoughts and energies there. Guide my words. Guide my thoughts. Motivate my actions to bring glory to you. God, help me to see where you're working and help me join you there. Amen. That's not deep. That's not in depth. It's just simple and real. Just saying, God, open my eyes to see what you're doing in the world. Help me to recognize it and to join you there. You pray that, and guess what happens? You start seeing nectar everywhere. You start seeing the sweet things of God. You start seeing those things that are good and acceptable and perfect. You start seeing those things that are noble and excellent and praiseworthy. You're going to see God at work all around you. Remember, your life will always go in the direction of your strongest thought. Therefore, we're going to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And then the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to fix our thoughts on those things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And then we're going to sit back and watch how it transforms our entire way of being just based on our thinking. Okay? So where do we go from here? How do we take this from a sermon that, well, it's okay, to something that becomes the very core part of who we are that makes a big difference? Well, last week, Cameron challenged you to think of a word that will drive your year. This week, what I want you to do is prayerfully think about, God, what's the one thought that emerges from that one word? What's that one thought, God, that could result in a bigger change than what I could ever imagine? Because it's often the small things that no one sees that make the biggest differences that everyone can see. One thought that you will think again and again and again. What is that one thought that it's going to be kind of come like your mantra for the year? The thought that becomes the truth that your heart dwells in, and it changes the words you speak and the way you live. I told you earlier this week, God gave me the word trust. To rely on Him more than anything. More than other people, more than Bluebell ice cream, more than my abilities or the lack thereof. And the verse that He gave me for this year is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, Steve, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. You know what my thought for the year is going to be? This is mind-blowing. Trust God completely. You'd think as a pastor that would already be a given, but you know what? I have a way of just going in and taking over things and trusting myself more than I trust God, trusting my judgment, trusting Bluebell ice cream for comfort rather than trusting God for it. Trust God completely. God's challenging me to trust Him with all the things in my life, in all the things of my life at all times. That's what He's challenging me to. Perhaps your word this year is selfless. Your thought could be, there needs to be less of me and more of God. Maybe your word is generous. God's put the word generous on my heart. Maybe your thought would be, I am a generous person. Maybe you're not generous yet, but that's the thought that will override your entire year and you will become a generous person because your life will follow your strong thought. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're overwhelmed with life and you begin to think, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or maybe your thought could be, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that thought begins to change your life. It begins to change who you are. You start getting here by changing this over here. What's your word? And what's the thought that emerges from that? I want to hold you to that. And if you don't have a word yet, get before God and get it. Because I want you to see the difference that word and that thought can make when you spend time with it. Because your thoughts create words. Words create actions. Actions create habits. And habits create a destiny. The Bible says, as a person thinks in his heart, so he becomes. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. We don't want them to be motivated by the lies of the devil, but by the truth of God. It's my hope for you today. That's my prayer for you this year, so that others will look at you and say, wow, what was that big thing they did to make such a big change in their life? And you can look back and say, it's really just a small thing. It was just one word. It was just one thought. But God used that and planted a seed and made something beautiful grow as a result. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this new year and the new opportunities. Thank you for new beginnings. And today, God, I pray for all who have come to this place to hear your word, not mine, but yours. And I pray that you would be true to your word. You promised in your word that when your word goes out, it will not return unto you void without first accomplishing the purposes for which it was sent. God, God, accomplish your word in this place today. Lord, I pray that the seeds planted today would find rich soil and it would blossom and grow, that we would become people not imprisoned by lies, but freed by the truth and allowed, God, freed to become who you want us to be through your word. I pray for those that are struggling today. I pray for those that are mourning for grief. I pray for those that are just confused. I lift them up to you today. And I pray that the truth of your word would sink deeply in their heart and bless them today. We love you, God, and thank you that if we need you, you are as close as the mention of your name. We call out to you today for various things in various ways, and I am so thankful that you listen, that you respond, and that you demonstrate your power to us in incredible ways. Lord, hear us as we cry out to you in this final song.